The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, Eisner Award winners. We do the numbers and the biggest normal week of comics ever. Who's got my gavel? Where my gavel at?
I declare this podcast started.
Alrighty, let's call this podcast to order. Welcome to Super Skull, your weekly New Comic Day audio digest, recorded live to tape in coordination with the Ann Arbor District Library from the Freedom Shrine Studio. We're from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. My name is Nick Wybar, and I'm joined, as I usually am, by Marcus Schwimmer.
Hey, gang.
Hey, Marcus Schwimmer.
How are we doing?
And don't ever forget about Curtis Sweet Baby Sullivan.
Never forget.
Please don't forget about me.
How's your nickname doing this week? How do you feel about your nickname this week?
It's like, it's all right. I mean, people are calling me Sweet Baby.
Is that really happening?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great news.
Kind of like your call sign now.
This dude named Chad, who shops at the store, came in and called me Sweet Baby Sullivan.
I love that story.
I love it so much.
Yeah. So.
I never thought it would stick. But I accept.
Yeah. If
great.
We were in fighter aircraft, I could see myself over the radio being like, Sweet Baby, cover my six.
That would be painted on my helmet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sweet Baby.
Yeah, I love it.
So what do we do on this podcast, gentlemen?
Sometimes we talk about comics, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's comics, though.
Usually.
I find.
Yes.
We talk about our big picks. We talk about stuff that's coming out every single week. We can safely say that this was not the biggest week for comics ever. This was just a normal week for comics.
Normal week, but there were some real bangers.
There were some real bangers, but it was not like an overwhelming tsunami of like raw numbers of single issue comics.
Yeah. I only had like 25 books this week, not 50.
It felt like a little vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I comfortably read all of my comics and did other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a week like this where I want to reread some stuff.
Ooh. Mm. Did you reread anything?
I started reading Arkham Knight in graphic novel format. I read it in single issues.
Because of your Batman Arkham Knight problem, game problem?
Yeah. I didn't get to play the Batgirl DLC last night, which I really wanted to do.
You okay?
So I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to do it tonight. I don't care what happens.
Can I talk about a book that I do kind of have had the itch to reread lately?
Yeah, please.
Half Past Danger.
Great book.
I love Half Past Danger.
I love that book, and I haven't read it in about a year.
What's it about?
It's about Captain America and a ninja and Betty Page, British spy.
It's not actually Captain America.
No, but he's like a Captain America inspired character.
Yeah.
And they're fighting Nazis who have found a way to clone dinosaurs.
So that's that's like a superhero.
Yep.
That's like a Betty Page-esque spy.
Yep.
That's dinosaurs. That's ninjas.
Indiana Jones as well.
Indiana Jones in World War II.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it, and I've had a mad urge to reread that book.
I love the Japanese soldier in that comic that fights for the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's
super cool.
What's the G.I. Joe he's based off of?
He's essentially Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes, that's right. Oh, he's so cool.
So it's got G.I. Joes in it, too.
Yeah.
God, that book was so good.
Yeah, I've had the urge to reread it.
Randomly sold one of those to a dude the other day in the store, and it was great.
Yeah. It doesn't happen often, but when it happens, it is sweet.
Yeah.
Everyone. Sexy book.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to, I'd like to take a little trip down memory lane really quickly, because you know we forgot to talk about this. Archie number one came out last week.
It's been selling really well.
I see what you did there.
Selling really well.
Yeah.
Memory lane.
So, memory lane, thank you. I was hoping somebody would appreciate that.
It's the main artery that runs through the heart of Riverdale.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were still talking.
Go on, Archie.
So I think what we should use is the magic of radio to just take a second and listen to the bet that Marcus and I made. Let's have a listen.
Magic of radio. I've made this prediction, and I will make it again, that I think this new Archie series, I think the climate is right. And with her success on Saga, I think I'm predicting that Archie is, after 6 months of its release, will be in the top five for the pull numbers of Vault of Midnight.
So right now you're real life theory crafting.
I'm willing to take bets on it.
Into reality.
I'm willing to take bets on it.
Okay, say that again. I want to hear what's
your
premise again.
After 6 months of the new Archie series being released,
yeah,
it will be in the top five pulls at Vault of Midnight Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's, well, I will take that bet.
You will?
Yeah, I want to take that bet.
Okay.
Just because I want to see. I just want to come back and see.
Okay, what are we betting? Let's make a gentleman's wager.
Yeah, I'll bet whatever you want.
Six-pack of beer, winner's choice?
Yeah, and I'll unbag all of your comics for you before the podcast for a month.
All righty. Yeah, no, that's great.
Marcus, remember that bet that we made?
I certainly do, and I don't regret it.
So that's Archie has as many subscribers as Saga.
Yep,
that was the deal.
So
that's an insane bet.
In retrospect, wasn't it insane?
So here's the thing, I don't want to call sabotage.
Oh,
I do want to call sabotage.
Let's call it sabotage.
You're calling it. What are you calling sabotage on?
Because part of my master plan to make this bet happen was I wanted to throw the greatest sock hop in Ann Arbor history, an Archie-themed sock hop.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah,
it was going to kick off this great thing. You came to the sock hop. Mm-hmm. You were going to receive an issue of Archie number one. You were going to dance your brains off.
Yeah. You don't think that in itself is a form of cheating? You were going to artificially give away a number of copies of Archie in order to inflate your subscription numbers?
Don't hit the player, hit the game.
Well, and
you
I'm
know
saying,
what I mean?
Let's be honest, that cost would have been built into the ticket price.
Oh,
the
for sure.
Hop.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
And then everyone would have subscribed to Archie. Yeah. But we found out it's really, really quite difficult to find a venue in the summer in Ann Arbor to throw a sock, a gymnasium.
Yeah.
And so there was a little bit of sabotage there. But here's the thing, listeners, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to take my big Marcus Hart. I'm going to put it through this radio. Archie number one is really, really dope. You should subscribe to it. I have nothing but faith on this book and in you, the listeners, to make me win this bet.
So I'm on the other side of this bet, and I want to lose it.
Yeah.
Because Archie number one was fantastic.
Yeah, I've reread it 6 times probably right now.
Seriously?
Yeah, wow. I've read it a lot. I once went back just to examine all of Fiona Staples' really dynamite art, and I picked up on some things that I didn't pick up the first time. And then I've been reading it to my roommates and friends, just being like, hey, look at this book, because I'm so excited about it. And when I get excited about something, I have to share it with every single person I know.
It's really good. And as much as I want, I mean, as sweet as it would be if Marcus had to unbag and board all of my comics every single week. Oh, can you feel how sweet that would be?
I'm imagining
listeners.
It.
Oh, my God, it would be delicious. But I would just as soon, I would love it if Archie had as many subscribers, which is right now Saga's sitting around nearabouts 200.
Couple hundred. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's Archie at right now? Can we get the tally for Archie right now? When we pulled it last week, it was around between 45 and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really great for a book.
Which
is
great.
Yeah.
35 times higher
than most subscriptions and much higher than Archie's ever been. So we're on the right track. We'll give you updates.
I got time to make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're working on it, folks.
If every person that listens to Super Skull subscribed to Archie, it would crush Saga.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
What a beautiful America that would be if our number one poll was Archie. What a beautiful America that would be.
It would be really...
I loved Archie. I think it can help all of us enjoy... Another moment in time.
You see how beautiful America.
My FDR kind of came out there a little bit.
I don't know what just came out there.
That was a little
bit.
FDR. I love me some FDR.
All right. Well, stay tuned for more info on our Archie bet. We'll keep you apprised as events warrant. But let's do our big picks.
Let's do it.
What's the purpose of the big pick, Marcus?
The big pick is to tell you, the listeners, what we think are the top three comics that came out this week. If you had a limited amount of Skrill to spend at your local comic shop, these would be the three things that we think you should pick.
What's your pick this week?
So my pick is a book called Mystery, P.I.
But it's Mystery spelled all stupid.
Yeah, it's spelled all weird. Mystery is spelled M-I-S-T-R-Y. Mystery.
That's not nearly as stupid as I thought it
was. That's not how you spell mystery?
Not even close.
No.
Okay.
Nope, that's okay.
But it's somebody's name.
Yeah. It's the name of the main character. But yeah, so before I dive into about this book, I want to just say that it's put out by this really cool new imprint, Graphic India, and it's books that take place in India and are based on Indian folklore. And I think that is the coolest shit ever that we're starting to see. And Grant Morrison, you should read some stuff Grant Morrison has said about this graphic India. But right now, like, Grant Morrison is writing a book for him. Stan the Man Lee is writing a book for him, an all-ages book, under this graphic India imprint. And they just came out with this new mystery PI. This book is not without problems. It has some pacing issues.
Give me the pitch.
The pitch is that there are these two people, a person and a golem, and they are in India trying to solve supernatural crimes.
During an outbreak of monsters.
Yeah, outbreak of monsters and weird supernatural activity. They're there, and they're trying to like do their best in cooperation with the police force to solve these problems and keep it away from the public. And it's... The monsters in this book are grade-A awesome. These are some Paul Pope-level kick-ass monsters. And so what I really like about this book is someone who is not very familiar with Indian culture. There's like all these monsters and aspects of Indian folklore that are put into this book that I am just getting to witness for the first time. And they're really cool and they're really fun. And this book is really fast-paced. And maybe sometimes it's a little too fast-paced. I had a hard time catching up every once in a while.
They're packing a lot in.
They're packing a lot into it. But man, there was some stuff that was happening. I was like, I don't really get what's happening right now, but I feel like it's a cultural thing that I'm not getting, and that's all right. Like, I'm the outsider here.
It's also just kind of reminded me of old pulp detective stories. Like, it comes in. It's kind of like the way Indiana Jones comes in, and everybody's just fully fleshed out, and everybody just knows who is who.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's Indiana Jones. We know everything we need to know about him, basically. So that book reminded me of, we have these archetypes. Here's the partner. Here's the detective. Here's the police chief. Here's the dame.
Yeah.
And that's why they kind of got away with moving things along really quickly, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. For me, what I got from this is, like, I was reading it, and I was loving it and enjoying it, and I still super stand by it. Like, there was a time I was like, it gets a little Hellboy-y from time to time.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. I find that to be totally acceptable. But man,
well, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, though. You know, the Hellboy-y thing kind of comes from the fact that Hellboy borrows and uses myth and fable and lore and horror and classic genre stuff from like everywhere. So, you know, that's I think Hellboy is also informed hugely by a million different myths and
absolutely
tales.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what was really cool about this book is, like, you can tell this book is informed by that Indian folklore. I just don't know anything about it.
Right.
And that's really fun, and it's cool to be that observer. But yeah, this book's written by Ashwin Pandey, and the artist is Arjuna Susini, and they're killing it. The art style is really great. And
you know who's killing it?
Who?
You, in the way you just pronounced those last names.
Thanks,
man. That was awesome.
A lot of work on that.
Good work.
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't want to slaughter that. But yeah, like, there's spider human hybrids, and there's giant, like, dog monsters, and it's just not something I'm exposed to. So it's really fresh and fun to read about this culture via this comic book. Grade A, check it out. Mystery PI from Graphic India. I think we're going to see a lot of cool stuff come from this imprint in the future, this publisher.
They got 4 or 5 books on the way. So
yeah.
Yep. Cool.
And so the Grant Morrison book that just came out,
18 days.
That was just. That's also Graphic India?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very, very cool.
And the one that Stan Lee is doing is called Chakra. It's about a young Indian superhero boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. They did a free comic book day preview for it.
That's right.
And it was really cool. Stan the Man hasn't lost a beat.
It's fun to say Stan the Manly.
Yeah.
It's like a guy named Stan, and he's the manly. You know, like a manly man.
Wait, I don't get it.
So it's like Stan... The Manly. It's like he could work in a circus.
Oh, because his name's Stanley?
Yeah.
Curtis, what was your pick this week? What do you got for
us? My big pick was the Island, number one, pronounced the Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a comics magazine, an anthology, if you will, but it is being pitched as a comics magazine. Big old fat comic book with lots of contributors. The forces behind this are Brandon Graham and Emma Rios. And then there's many others. This book has Miriam Churchland in here, who we talked about last week.
Yeah, she's doing some of the ArcLight books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emma Rios from Pretty Deadly.
Emma Rios is the best.
Who's super awesome. Kelly Sue DeConnick, also in here with some prose that I thought was quite good. It's like a 3-page, 4-page short story autobiographical thing.
Yeah.
That was quite good. Brandon Graham, as we know, from King City and also ArcLight.
And we get like a big King City short story
yeah.
in this issue.
I think, is it a King City or Multiple Warheads?
Multiple Warheads, I'm sorry.
There we go.
That's right.
It's hard to distinguish those crazy worlds.
Yeah.
This is great.
What was your favorite one out of all of them? So it's all short stories.
Yeah.
It's all short, kind of graphic novel short stories. What was the pick? What do you like the most?
Well, my favorite's Brandon Graham, because he's just my dude. Emma Rios was interesting. We'll see where it's going. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Kelly Sue's prose. She's a very, very good writer.
Yeah.
And this story was talking about being a writer and how you become a writer, and also about kind of little sweet bits about her and Matt Fraction meeting, and it kind of all folded in on itself.
It was just
after four pages.
Really good little completely prose short story with some spot illustrations. It was not a comic book.
No.
Nope.
Man, she can write.
That's the thing.
The Churchland one, the first one, I really dug.
Emma Rios.
Was the first one?
Yep. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
There's like all this stuff with like body switching and terrorist activities in space, but like it all takes place in this little French cafe.
Yep.
And it was super cool. I really dug. This format of like short stories collected, I think this is the coolest thing. I was not excited for this book very much because I like very in-depth, deep, you know, storytelling. But man, I got so much out of this. I am looking forward to this. I hope this never goes away.
Yeah.
I'm totally in love with it.
So anthologies are tough, right? You know, we've talked about this a few times. Dark Horse Presents. I think this book being curated by Brandon Graham and Emma Rios is going to make sure that we have great issues
and
all the time.
The presentation of this book, like it
just
looks
nice.
Yeah.
Is this a cover of the week award?
Could be.
Yeah.
For
absolutely.
Sure. I mean, this is like a castle on an island from the distance, and it's all Brandon Graham'd out. You can like see there's like a, what do you call that? Like a cross section of the beneath the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so cool.
Yeah, it's very nice.
He does that thing where he fills all his worlds with artifacts and weird little doodads.
Yep.
That flesh out the world without really telling you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you ask more questions, but it makes things feel like a place.
I had one very OCD issue with this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to sound so silly, but I got to get off my chest.
Do it.
I plan on subscribing and collecting this book for as many years as it comes out.
Go on.
Please put the issue number on the spine.
Oh, so the spine is blank.
The spine is blank. And as a retailer, that's a problem. Because if I shelf this book, people won't see it. But also,
it's brilliant because you have to face it out.
You have to face it out.
You have no choice but to face it out.
As a collector, I want the issue number on the spine.
Face it out on your bookshelf.
I know. It's the archivist in me. It just drives me freaking nuts. Yeah. No, but this book is 10 out of 10.
You know what you do? You take one of those. You take it to a convention. You get Brandon Graham to write the volume number on the spine.
That's where he signs it.
That's
he signs it on the spine.
On
the spine. Yeah.
This
could you write it out to a volume number?
Yeah. This book is 10 out of 10. I loved it.
So, yeah, this is 110 pages or something crazy. It's $7.99, so it's not cheap. But, man, you get a lot for your money.
Scoop it up. It's rare to see something this weird coming out in comics.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird experiment. Dark Horse Presents is really cool, but it is not the best-selling book in the world. And that's the nearest comparable thing I can think of. That's like, and this is a little bit more ambitious because it's bigger.
Yep.
There's the stories are a little weirder. I think this book needs support. And I think we should
check it out. Here's the best way to get this book. Put it on your subscription because that's $7.99, 20% off.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Well, depending on your comic shop.
Depending on your comic shop. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
But man, I had a ball with, like, I sat down last night, had a nice glass of water and just destroyed this bad boy.
Nice glass of water because it's on an island.
Well,
it's surrounded by water.
That and I felt dehydrated from the day. But yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, I'm 100% sold.
Sometimes
on this
I just kick back.
Nice cold glass of water.
Nice cold glass of water.
Yeah. It'll do things to you.
And I read books about that are maritime related. That helps me relax.
I'm saying.
I feel relaxed right now.
I turn the shower on.
Just for the noise. You don't actually get
I don't
in
get
it.
In the shower though.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys ever read your comics in the shower?
No.
No.
That's
have
never
you?
Happened.
No, nobody does that.
Have you ever showered? Well,
I wanted to be provocative.
Have you shower beard?
Have I? What?
Shower beard.
Drank a beer in the shower?
Yeah.
No, because I'm a human being and I live in a society of civilized human beings.
Because you ever drink a beer in the shower? Ever drink a shower in the beer? No, beer in the shower. I was right the first time.
I've definitely peed in the shower.
Yeah.
But
wow, you want to just say that on the internet radio?
I'm going to say it right now.
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
We've all done it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course we've done it. We just don't. Okay. Right in the mic.
But I haven't beard in the shower.
Oh. I'll say it. Yeah.
So.
You're going somewhere and you want to get one in beforehand, but you got to shower.
You want to get one in beforehand?
Yeah, you
want. There's no time.
There's no time.
He's coming right into the shower with me.
Yeah. And it's nice because you're taking a hot shower, but you got cold beer and the combos.
You get a box of shelf-stable bacon.
That is not acceptable behavior.
Well, why not?
Do you eat do you eat spaghetti in the shower, too?
There's a big difference between eating a noodle-based dish in the shower and having an ice-cold Pabst Blue Ribbon while taking a very hot shower, getting ready for your
evening. I'm not going to lie. It sounds refreshing.
It is.
A lot of things sound refreshing, but we have a society we're trying to run here.
Yeah, look, I'm going to try it.
Yes.
God damn it, yes. I'm going to try it too. Somebody asked me about my pick.
Shower beer. Nick, what'd you pick?
I picked The Divine.
It was a great book.
It was divine.
It was divine.
You're saying The Divine was, in fact, divine.
That's correct.
I'd say whatever.
Asaph Hanukkah, Tomer Hanukkah, and Boaz Levi. I'm guaranteeing I am butchering all of those names.
Mm.
But it was, man, I really, really liked it. We don't pick big graphic novels very often for
True.
The big picks because it's tough. You know, maybe it's because we had a light week this week. Maybe.
Well, and this is a banger. These two dudes are, these
banger.
Brothers are great.
Here's the thing. It was insanely good.
Can we talk about the art before we dive into the plot?
Let's talk about the art.
I think this art is by far, I like this art immensely. There's a scene in this book where a young person is smoking two cigarettes at the same time.
Yes.
And that panel did more for me than any art has in a grip. It was just like that one panel summed up that character like that. And it was powerful.
So when I was 15 years old, I tried to smoke two cigarettes at once to
really?
Impress a girl.
Oh.
Please tell me you threw up.
I immediately threw up.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of cool looking.
Yeah.
And then I got on a skateboard and fell over.
Yeah. Fire hot. You know? Lesson learned.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm picturing that. It's awesome, but I'm picturing current Nick. Adult Nick doing that.
It was a comedy of errors. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Curtis. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say the coloring on this book. So the art's super, super good, but the coloring is outrageously great and stylized. You don't see this sort of
What is it about coloring. This coloring that works so well? Would you call it a Grayson effect?
I would definitely not call it a Grayson effect.
It is not the that's a totally different thing, and now you're just pushing my buttons. You're just coming out, and those are fighting words.
You know what it is? I'm coining a new use of the term Grayson effect. I'm just going to make up a
You
new
invented
term.
That. Now it's
I've
a
already,
thing.
I've already defined what the Grayson effect is, and now you're
we'll
butchering
see,
it.
We'll see whose catches on first, my friend. The game is afoot.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is something kind of interesting going on with the art here.
Yeah, like people's skin tones reflect kind of the lighting in the environment.
Yeah.
And it's just super interesting.
It's not, it changes pretty drastically to kind of set the scene.
Yeah.
He's doing really interesting stuff with backgrounds and solid colors to kind of, you know, depending on what the situation calls for. The art is fantastic.
It's really great.
Across the
board. So what's this book about, Nick?
So this book is about a demolitions expert who gets hired to do a project in the fictional country of Quan Lom.
Lovely.
But that country is in, if we were to put it on a map.
It's somewhere near Vietnam. It's in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure.
Got it. We don't know yet.
There's a civil war going on, and everybody kind of gets, you know, enmeshed in it. The guy travels there with a buddy of his who he works with, who is a jerk. And it just kind of takes off from there. I don't want to spoil it because it's so weird, and I did not see any of the twists and turns coming. But it's very deliberately paced, but action packed at the same time. It's doing some cool kind of magical realist stuff. Mm.
So it's a work trip into a civil war zone?
Yeah, so he's a demolitions expert, so he's getting contracted by the U.S. military, and they're like, well, we'll give you more money. There's a bonus because there's the low-grade conflict going on in this country right now. But
it's like a police action. It's not a war.
Well, nobody really knows exactly what's going on exactly.
I got a very much like a civil war feel.
There totally is some sort of uprising happening in the country, but like this dude doesn't really know about that.
Mm.
And maybe there's a dragon?
Oh, it's so dope.
It's,
first, second books, you guys.
It's first, second books, and these dudes really don't know how to put out a bad book.
My favorite thing is when a publisher only has time for good books.
So my favorite
thing... You know, there's no market share.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like every book is not only coming out for sales, obviously, because you have to sustain this thing.
Yeah.
And people need to eat food and live in houses, but... quality is as big a you know, reason.
Absolutely.
As those others.
And can we talk about the binding of first, second books?
Yeah.
I don't want to go off on like a super boring tangent about binding too far, but they make the best, like the actual construction of their books is as good as anybody putting out graphic novels in the whole industry.
They're great.
Good friend of the comic shop, Norm, longtime comic guru, is an archivist slash book preservation guy for the U of M.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll look at a book. You ever seen Norm do this?
It's my favorite.
It's so, super great. He'll just look at a book and he'll just tell you structurally, engineering wise, everything that's right or wrong about a particular book.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've heard him comment on the quality of First Second. So
one thing that's really cool about First Second that I find is like they, for every great book they put out, that normal graphic novel, they put out a killer all ages graphic novel. They're like 50-50 right down the middle.
Yeah, they do a bunch of sweet all ages stuff.
Some of my favorite all ages books come from First Second. And it's just like First Second gets that if you put great literature in kids' hands, you will hook them for life.
Yeah.
And they are doing it and they're awesome.
Yeah, really thanks for that.
Yeah.
Boaz Lavi, this is his first graphic novel, is the other thing that I wanted to talk about. He has done
Asif and Tomer doing the art, he's writing.
That's correct. These are twins.
Twins separated at birth.
That's right. You made up a story about them. How did it go?
I did. Well, they were separated at birth, and they both became these incredible graphic novelists / cartoonists in their own right, and they met coincidentally at an airport on their way to a comic convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
The proceeding.
That's 100% true.
The proceeding was not true.
Okay.
We don't know.
We don't know.
That up in your mind.
It seems,
but you say it so authoritatively. As soon as you heard their names, you're like, "Oh yeah, those twins that were separated at birth and like became comic book graphic novelists independently of each other."
And then they met, and then they became like a dynamite team.
Yeah,
they immediately loved each other and knew they were brothers.
I love that story, but there's nothing to substantiate it whatsoever.
Well, I've got a good feeling about it, so
I want it to be true so badly. Maybe it is true. I can't be bothered to look and find out.
Nope.
It's not on the Wikipedia page.
So please repeat that as fact.
That's right. So yeah, Boaz Lavi did, he's done some game design, he's done some film stuff, but this is his first comic book.
Great.
Neat.
So I want to read everything that this dude does going forward.
He's been compared to David Lynch and Katsushiro Otomo. Wow.
That's some big stuff.
Sheesh.
See that. Well, those are our big picks this week. We didn't really get in each other's shit, really.
Mm.
I've noticed.
Three good picks.
Nobody picked anything wrong this week.
For once,
you
all agree with me.
Don't look into my eyes while you say that, Nick.
I'm just, you know, good job.
I think he was looking deep into your soul.
Yeah.
There's not much there.
This is it. This is the grace and effect, you know. Sometimes everybody picks a good comic.
Son of a bitch. How dare you ruin that?
What about the poll box?
Let's get into it. The poll box. There actually is, even though it's a lighter week, even if you're smashing a bunch of, you know, the good comics, you got 20 books on your plate this week.
That's true.
So
you're saying it's still the biggest week ever for comics?
I'm not going to say that. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to say it's a pretty big week.
Still pretty good.
So read all 20 of these books and then reread something. That's my advice to you. let's do a quick This Week in Secret Wars.
Break it down.
We got Guardians of Nowhere, number one. This is a Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Uh-huh.
Brian Michael Bendis, Mike Diodato, great art. We all like Bendis. Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders, number one. This is Mark Farmer and Alan Davis. I used to love these guys' art more than I love it now, but still a good team. Korvac Saga, number two. We all like the first one. So let's see what happens there. Siege, number one.
Hey, I was ready to not like this book
because
I thought Siege was dog poop. With the crossover Siege?
Yes, it's one of my not favorite crossovers from Marvel.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why it was like, you know, Civil War and then Siege was not too long after Civil War. And it's like, oh, wait, crossovers are bullshit.
Yeah.
All that being said, this was, I think, my favorite Battle World book this week.
Kieran Gillen.
Yeah.
Dude can write.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra, number one, Rick Remender.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that guy. Good cover. I love that Hydra logo, one of the best logos in the game.
Yeah, I love that book.
That's This Week in Secret Wars.
Thanks, Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anyone. It's a secret.
Hey, also, sorry, I grabbed a Secret Wars book because I was so excited about it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. It's awesome and one of my favorite Secret Wars books ever. And the cover this week is so fly.
It's super
fly. It's unbelievable.
Fly.
It says, come fly with me, which makes me think, it makes me want to sing.
Kelly Sue DeConnick on
do you
that piece.
Sing?
I was just, you know, it's like the come fly with me, come fly, let's fly away. That's what that cover makes me think about.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know that song.
That's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie.
Sorry, keep going.
Okay.
When Nick's drinking beers and eating spaghetti in the shower,
yeah,
he listens to...
I usually sing that song.
Sinatra.
Yeah.
With my mouth full.
All right, also this week, Godzilla in Hell from IDW.
I loved this comic
book,
y'all.
Yeah, this comic book is insanely, insanely dope. I am in mad, mad love with that.
So this is James Stokoe. If you haven't read any of James Stokoe's Godzilla stuff,
yeah,
get off.
We implore you.
Yeah. Go do it. Get out of the shower. Put your beer down. Go read
right.
it.
So what you might be thinking is like, oh, Godzilla's going through a bad time. He's in his own personal hell. No. Godzilla is literally falling.
He's in actual hell.
He's in actual hell. And it's awesome. It's sweet and it's dope and it's fly and you should read it.
Godzilla gives no shits about hell.
Nope.
He just falls into hell and there's like
fine.
Some demons and stuff and he's like, yeah, whatever. Raw.
It's awesome.
He's having a bad day though.
Yeah, he's having a but you know what? Godzilla, he's got it.
Hey, I want to talk about It Will All Hurt, number two.
Hey, I can't believe that's out already.
I can't believe that Nick is picking this book. It's so weird.
Why is that weird?
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, it was really good.
It was good. Yeah. It was good.
Here we go. Let's get into
Did
it.
Did you struggle with it? Did you?
It's not like
was it tough to follow?
It's not a lack of education on my part.
I don't think it's it's not about education. No
experience.
No.
Palette.
Don't get your Mr. Rogers voice on with me right now, young man.
Sorry.
No, I thought it was a fine book. Thought it was a fine book.
Well, it's continuing the weirdness of this book, and you just kind of go with it as if you would a dream.
And I think you should. I think you should go with it.
Yep.
For Old Dalrymple is again one of the most bestest, uniquest, coolest, standoutishestest voices.
Who else is doing comic books like this dude?
No one.
Not anyone else.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's the art, it's the weird writing, it's the full package. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. It Will All Hurt, number two.
I'm saying I can't believe it's out already. It seems like one was like not even that long ago.
Yeah, time makes fools of us all, my brother.
Wow. You're right.
Hawkeye number 22 came out last Hawkeye, last Matt Fraction Hawkeye.
Finally, after a huge delay.
Yeah, after a huge delay. It's all done, and I left satisfied.
Can we talk about how all new Hawkeye is on issue 4?
Yeah.
And this is the last issue of the not all new Hawkeye?
No joke, I was very worried about all new Hawkeye, but Jeff Lemire has been doing that book.
Book's dope.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I like it as much as I like the Matt Fraction regular Hawkeye.
What?
It is good.
I'm liking it. I'll agree.
Yeah. Wrap this up for us, Curtis, will you?
Let's go Batman. I always call him Batman, son of Robin. But it's really Robin, son of Batman. Number two. I love this book. The second issue was even cooler than the first. I love Damian Wayne's path to redemption. God darn it. I love Damian Wayne. And I got to talk real quickly about Justice League 42, y'all.
Talk about it.
The Dark Side War, part two. Please read this book. Geoff Johns and Jason Fabok are killing Justice League right now. Killing it. This is the closest thing to like a Hickman-style, big, god, scary, awesome thing that's happening at DC right now. I'm in love with it. 41, back in print, in the store. 42, out today. Check it out.
Also, real quick, Black Canary number 2 and Martian Manhunter number 2 are both out. They're new runs from DC. I like both of them immensely.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Valiant's got one new one, The Book of Death. It's getting some good buzz. I haven't read it yet.
All right. Let's get this under control here.
Okay. New Lumberjanes.
You can go all day.
Did anyone else read?
New Giant Days.
Did anyone else read Book of Death?
I didn't.
I read Book of Death.
What'd you?
I think that I was supposed to be reading other Valiant books.
That's I think if you're not reading all the other Valiant titles, this is a doozy to get through.
You know,
it's
interesting. I really like the Valiant books, and I read a bunch of them at the launch, but now I'm feeling a little lost in the Valiant universe.
I agree. I have been reading Exo Manowar.
Yeah.
And really liking it, and the Exo Manowar in Book of Death, I think is very different than the character I've come to know. And I find it to be very confusing.
I think Robert Venditti did the original, or did the Valiant relaunch.
Sounds right.
Exo Manowar.
But that's one of the things I noticed in this book, is either I missed something, and I've read all of them, or I felt like it was a very weird transition for the character. And
Sure.
It's just a very odd book.
You know.
Yeah.
That's the Grayson effect for you.
Can we
let's do the numbers.
Wait, can we mention O Kill Strike really, really fast? That's all I got.
Yeah.
O Kill Strike 3 is out this week. 3 of 4. This is the, what do we call this? A parody book?
Yeah.
Of Blood Sword. Of Blood Strike.
Blood Strike.
Of Kill Blood.
Well, we don't know. It wasn't a parody of Blood Strike specifically.
No. It's of the era.
But of everything that Blood Strike is.
Yeah.
There it is. This is a funny ass book, y'all.
It's quite.
It gets
quite
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
You stepped on my.
I did.
On my joke. I don't know how we're gonna edit that back in.
Let's fix it.
I think we should leave all of this in right now. All of this that we're talking about. All
right. Roger.
Let's do the numbers. Secret Wars helped Marvel secure the top spot again for June's single-issue sales with the summer crossover's third issue, netting 218,136 copies sold. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 1 nabs the second-place spot, selling 203,565 units. Star Wars number 6 landing in third with 152,652. That's a solid domination of the top three spots for the second month in a row, if you'll discount Mass Geek Box purchases. Marvel and DC claim the entire top 10 list of single issues sold, with nary another publisher to be found until Walking Dead 142 made an appearance at spot number 18, moving 68,221 copies.
That's right, Kai. On graphic novel side of things, Scott Snyder's Witches came to the top pile with 8,946 copies sold, followed by Thanos, Infinity Relativity, and East of West, Volume 4. Marvel and Image split the top 10 list of graphic novels sold right down the middle with 5 titles apiece. Saga Volumes 1 and 4 nabbed the 6th and 7th spot, respectively, leaving the current running total of Saga graphic novels sold to date at 1 shitload and counting.
Curtis, what were your take on the numbers this week? Anything pop out at you?
Yeah, so, you know, Secret Wars number 3 is still kicking that much butt.
Isn't that crazy?
So we all know it in the shop, and we see how much Heine it's kicking, but the attrition on a book is just not there with Secret Wars. The numbers are going up issue after issue. That's not the way it works.
No, the hype is real, and the hype is justified, and people are hungry for more Secret Wars, and it's great.
Yeah, the book is still selling, and we're adding people to the poll every time an issue comes out. That just doesn't, you know, traditionally, let's say if I'm ordering 500 copies of number 1 of Secret Wars, I would order 400 of number 2. I would order 375 of number 3.
It would descend pretty significantly.
And that's just the way it works. Every time, all the time, we got 20 years of data that supports that type of kind of 15-20% down on an issue.
Yeah.
And then you'll hit a sweet spot where it kind of maintains to a little down as you go. This book is the opposite of that. It's 20% up every time, and then reorders every week.
Yeah.
So it's shocking that this is bearing out across the industry on this book. And it's a testament to John Hickman and Assad Ribic's killer book.
Yep. And what Marvel's doing over there.
Yeah. It's a combination of well-known properties and really solid talent delivering a great book. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's wonderful. So it's not shocking to me, but it's cool. It's a neat thing to see. It's the opposite of trends that we've watched for years and years. So.
Yeah.
I'm super glad that Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows is doing so good.
Absolutely.
People wanted that book, and Marvel delivered.
It's exactly what I want as a Spider fan. So,
yeah, have you? It's been nice because, like, you and I, Curtis and I, had an argument in the shop about, like, oh, Mary Jane versus Gwen Stacy, but other people in the shop have been having the same kind of argument because of Renew Your Vows, and I love it.
And, of course, everyone agrees that Mary Jane and Peter are the perfect couple.
I wouldn't say everyone, but yeah.
Everybody is right.
Oh, is that the justification? Okay, cool.
Any deeper cuts on the sales list that you guys are curious about? I wanted to know where one of my favorite books, Manifest Destiny, landed.
Oh.
And it was at 11,389 copies sold.
Oof.
Spot number 161. Mm. Which, for my money, it's one of the best comics coming out right now in single
really
issues.
Really enjoy it.
True.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting to see. You know, it's in the top 300.
Yeah.
Which is encouraging.
Yeah.
But that's 11,389 sold.
Where did Robin, Son of Batman, pop in?
Let's take a look.
I'm going to say
Robinson of 50. Batman. Oh, you're going to say 50. It landed at spot number 24.
Oh, I love
nice.
It.
64,095 copies sold.
That's great.
That comic is my jam. So, you know, one thing to note, too, and we kind of, as graphic novels have come along in this whole thing. So, you know, there was a time in our life as a comic shop where graphic novels were kind of seen as like almost like digital comics.
Yeah.
Like that they were going to road single issue sales to the point of they just won't be any more singles. It'll all be graphic novels. That hasn't happened, but what I think has happened to a degree is Marvel and DC still kind of dominate the single issue game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we look at the top 10 graphic novel sales,
Marvel and Image,
exactly, and Dark Horse and all, and you know, for a second or whoever. So, you know, a book like Manifest Destiny is a good example. I think it sells less single issues than you think it should, but I think it sells. We sell a lot of graphic novels, at least as many, if not more, than the singles. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but in our stores, that's what it feels like. You know, Secret Wars is going to sell a billion in singles.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, as many copies as we sell a Saga, we sell, what, 30 to 1 graphic novels to single issues on Saga?
Oh, yeah.
And it's our most subscribed to comic book.
That's one of the things that we talked about it in the intro to this here a little bit. But, yeah, Saga Volume 1 is consistently in the top 10 or the top 20.
That book is 4 years old.
That book is 4 years old.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That I was trying. So I was trying to find out how many raw copies of, like, what's this? What are the overall sales numbers on Saga? And I couldn't find a good kind of estimate, but
sure.
It's got to be in the hundreds of thousands at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which for a graphic novel is completely bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's how you spell bananas.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, on a regular week in our shop, we sell between 10 and 15 copies of Saga. That's a normal week.
Yeah.
4 years later. On a good week, we'll sell 25 copies. Still, a week, 4 years later.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
If those numbers sound low, like, that's great. Those are really good numbers.
That's crazy high.
Yeah, for a single issue.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. Well, those are the numbers. Did you have anything else that stuck out at you?
Well, I thought we'd talk about real quickly Lumberjanes.
Oh, the Lumberjanes. Yeah, absolutely.
Volume 1.
Yeah.
So it's out of print right now. We're waiting for a new printing. Lumberjanes Volume 1, cumulative life-to-date sales, 8 weeks in? 60,000 copies, y'all.
Insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's bananas. We talk about the numbers here a little bit. We'll say first week sales on a big graphic novel from Marvel DC might hit, big numbers might hit 12,000?
Yeah.
14,000? And that's first week, and it's going to fall off a cliff after that, right? Unless it's a banger. It's going to, you know... So 60,000 copies of Lumberjanes is a monster, monster number and speaks volumes about where we are as an industry and what the fan base looks like.
Yeah.
So that's super cool.
And I don't think it's going to go down.
It bodes well for
all
of us.
Yeah, won an Eisner.
That's right.
The biggest award in comics. So that number's only going to go up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Lumberjanes, I think, is already on its way to being a staple.
Yeah, Noel Stevenson is a dynamite force to be reckoned with. Nimona graphic novel coming back into the shop finally after a short hiatus of being unavailable. That's a great book.
Nimona. Yeah.
So Noel Stevenson is kicking butt over at Marvel right now in Runaways also. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of her.
Excellent.
And, cool.
Well, those are the numbers for this week. We get all of our information from ICV2. Give them a site. And that was CITE. I'm citing them. As
Got
our
it.
Reference.
Yes.
Because
you're citing their
you
website.
You can't hear my spelling. I'm citing their website.
Mm-hmm.
And they get their sales estimates from Diamond Indexes and publisher title data. So those are the numbers. And speaking of Lumberjanes winning an Eisner Award,
yeah,
a whole bunch of people won Eisner Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Eisner Awards were just announced.
That
just
happened.
Announced at Comic-Con.
So that was Best New Series that Lumberjanes won.
Sweet.
Which is... fantastic, and I was not surprised by it, but yeah, it was
Up against some heavy hitters.
Yes,
it was up against some real competition, so well, I'm glad it won.
I'm gonna find
and you
better
just love
year.
It when a good book not only gets the awards but gets the sales.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Yeah,
that doesn't always work that way.
My favorite sales rep, Tony, sent a list of all of the Eisner winners that he represents, and like a brief little history about personal interactions he's had with the artists and authors. It was very nice and very cool.
I will say, out of all the reps we work with at any distributor, that dude's emails are the most lavish and put together. So
I really respect a well-written email. I do like that dude for
that. I knew that about
you. He does a good email.
So yeah, that new Lumberjanes was up against, oh wow, those were heavy hitters, The Fade Out, Miss Marvel it was up against.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rocket Raccoon and Wicked and Divine. Man, Miss Marvel, though.
Wow.
That's... I like Miss Marvel.
I like Miss Marvel a lot, too, but I think where Lumberjanes breaks away is that it's taking a non-traditional story format and making it as good as it can be.
And Lumberjanes knows no bounds as far as demographic goes.
Totally.
You know, Miss Marvel, if you have, you know, you don't do tights at all or superheroes.
Okay,
know?
That's true.
But yeah. Lumberjanes, I mean, you just would hand that. I would hand that book to
absolutely
anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Best continuing series went to Saga.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed about that one.
Surprising no one. Up against Astro City, Bandette, Hawkeye, the Matt Fraction run on Hawkeye, Southern Bastards.
Such a good book.
Southern Bastards.
Yeah.
And The Walking Dead was nominated for Best Continuing Series.
We'll ignore that.
This whole thing is suspect to me now.
Bandette, really, really nice.
Bandette was great.
I wouldn't feel bad if Southern Bastards got Best Series. When people ask me, like, I need a new book, give me your favorite comic, it's either Southern Bastards or East of West.
Absolutely.
Almost every time.
Yep. Let's see. What else do we have here? Best single issue went to Beasts of Burden, Hunters and Gatherers. Mm. I'm man enough to admit that I didn't read this single issue.
Neither
did you guys
did
check
I.
it out?
Nope.
No, I slacked off on it. I should have read it. I know of Beasts of Burden because it's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
They are making it into a movie, I read somewhere recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
with,
excellent.
It's all about essentially talking animals. So we'll see how that works out.
Also nominated for Best Single Issue was Madman In Your Face 3D Special, which reminds me of the Madman In Your Face 3D Special.
Yeah.
Which is really one of the coolest single issues that have come out in maybe ever.
Yeah, it was really great.
Best 3D I've ever
that was
seen.
Last year.
3D printed comic.
It was like an experience. We might still have some of these around the comic shop.
I think we do.
Oh my God,
I remember
it was
when,
so good.
It's like $10, but it comes with Madman 3D glasses.
It's the best.
We talked about it on the podcast when it first came out, and it was just like we had just all read it for the first time minutes before we podcast.
Yeah.
And it was just like, do we talk about anything else, or do we just talk about how amazing this 3D is in comic format? Like, fuck off every 3D movie IMAX thing that's made with multi-billion-dollar cameras. Like, just read this one issue and be in love with 3D.
It was so good.
So good.
You know, the best digital web comic, the winner was The Private Eye.
Yeah.
By Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin.
Yes.
And if you haven't read that, you should read it. It's a pay what you want thing at panelsyndicate.com. Panelsyndicate.com. It's very, very good.
So as a money-grubbing retailer, I hope they make a beautiful print.
I've read
that.
They've explicitly said that they never will.
Oh, darn it.
But I hope that they renege and they just do it.
Please do.
Best graphic album went to This One Summer.
Ooh.
Mariko Tamaki and Jillian Tamaki.
First Second.
From First Second.
Yeah, that's right.
Great book. Up Against Seconds by Brian Lee O'Malley. That was a really good book.
Also good.
Yeah. And Here by Richard McGuire, which is one of the... man, that is an amazing graphic novel.
It certainly is. It's weird. I recommend Here, please. We'll forget about it when you come in the store, but...
Yeah.
H-E-R-E...
By Richard McGuire.
Check it.
You've never read anything like it. It's so good. See if there's anything else of note. Black Sad, Amarillo, by Juan Diaz-Canales and Juanjo Guarnido from Dark Horse. That was a really good book. Beautiful Darkness was also nominated.
Yeah, I thought Beautiful Darkness would have taken that one when I saw him. I thought Beautiful Darkness would have definitely taken
that.
One of
my favorite books of the whole year.
Yeah,
but
really
I am
good.
Not mad at Black Sad.
No.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So can I say I've never read any Corto Maltese?
Yeah.
By Hugo Pratt, and I am going to remedy that.
You should. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it looks so good. The art is so cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Showa, A History of Japan, won Best U.S. Edition of International Material, which usually reads as like, you know, the Eisner Award for manga.
Yeah.
And that's Shigeru Mizuki Showa. It's just a history of the Showa era of Japan.
Have you read both those? There's two of them out right now.
It's wonderful.
They're great.
Yeah.
As a history nerd... It's one of the best ways to take history and make it interesting and show. It's so good. I can rave about those two manga forever.
Yeah, Shigeru Mizuki is a master of manga. He is a master of the comic book.
Yeah, the dude's literally a living national treasure for like Japan and Japanese history. He's great.
The best writer award for went to Jean Luen Yang this year.
Yeah,
Avatar: The Last Airbender. Jin Luen Yang deserves as many eyes and rewards as we can give him.
Yep.
That dude is fantastic. I have not read this Avatar book, but man, he had some other heaters come out last
Shadow
year.
Shadow Hero, man.
Shadow Hero.
As someone who has read his Avatar books, they are... So Avatar is a show, and then it stopped, and then they picked it up in graphic novel format.
Yeah.
Graphic novels, the show is amazing. The graphic novels are even better.
They don't even skip a beat. The art looks just like the show. Yeah, the characters are spot on.
The graphic novels are even better.
Yeah.
Super solid.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I love that show.
And if you want to pick up on Mr. Yang's work, he's now starting to do Superman.
That's right.
Yeah. One issue out so far.
Yeah. And as a dude who's not the biggest active monthly Superman reader, I really thought it was very good writing.
Nice.
The best, man, he was up against Jason Aaron.
Yikes.
Kelly Sue DeConnick, mm-hmm. Grant Morrison, mm. Brian K. Vaughan, and G. Willow Wilson.
That's outrageous.
That's crazy.
And he won the Best Writer award.
It's a superstar lineup.
You could have given that award to any single one of those people, and
absolutely.
They would deserve it fully.
And all of those people had amazing years, and that's good on you, Mr. Yang. That is awesome. Best Writer Artist Award went to Raina Telgemeier.
Yeah.
For Sisters. Mm.
She's gonna need some help shifting units. So this might help.
Yeah, finally, maybe she can finally sell a comic book or two.
Just the nicest.
Just kidding. She's the best.
She's a New York Times best-selling author. She's dominated. I think I read somewhere she dominated like all four of the top spots for teen graphic novels on the New York Times bestseller list at one point. Like,
love it.
She's a powerhouse. Oh, and stay tuned because our interview with her and Dave Roman is going to be going up in the next week or so. We hope.
Cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll just wrap this up really quickly. Best penciler and inkler, Fiona Staples for Saga and Archie. That was last year, but
she'll win again for Archie.
Got Babs Tarr on the list from Batgirl.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Best painter / multimedia artist for interior went to J.H. Williams.
Wow.
For the Sandman Overture, which, absolutely. I can see that. Best cover artist, Darwin Cook, for all those really great DC variants.
They were the best. I totally agree with this one. There was a little internet controversy about this one. Darwin Cook's variant covers was the best variant cover run of all year. It was his
Easy.
Batman one.
Dude.
Is still makes me misty eye just thinking about it.
Exactly.
It's so good.
Hey, best coloring. Look who got best coloring, y'all.
Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
For a bunch of Dark Horse work, it looks like. Best lettering. We got to get the lettering out there for Miss Rachel Polk, Stan Sakai, for Usagi Yojimbo.
Nice.
I believe she had some feelings about that, but we may never know.
Did you guys know Stan Sakai has lettered Gru for like 25 years?
No, I didn't know that.
Totally true.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, little fun fact.
Hey, best comics-related periodical in journalism. This is like where you're going to read about comics. Comics Alliance.
Those dudes deserve so much credit.
Which is my favorite resource.
Yeah, they're great.
For comic news.
Yeah,
those guys are, and they're getting better.
Yeah.
They're such a great site.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And the stuff they put out is, they have some really good journalistic integrity. They are there to give you the facts. There are some opinion pieces, but like when breaking news happens in comics, they will give you the facts as they are received.
They're such sharp writers, too. Just like from a prose level, like those dudes know how to write. And in comic book reviews and comic book journalism, like that is super rare. Usually you get like a little blurb or you get kind of this half-assed. Those guys are just fucking professionals.
So comicsalliance.com, check them out.
Check them out if you haven't already. Well, I think we should start wrapping up.
That's a great idea, Nick.
All right.
Have you guys considered wrapping it up?
Yeah, I think we can all agree it's time to wrap it up.
Well, guys, this has been a fact-filled episode that has been relatively argument-free.
It was. It was very peaceful.
It's a very civil, fact-filled episode here.
That's right.
At the Super Skull Studio next to the Freedom Shrine. God bless.
Maybe it's the vibes from the Freedom Shrine.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned earlier, stay tuned for a whole bunch of interviews that are going to be leaking out over the next days and weeks. Leaking? Do I want to say leaking?
No, man, it's not. It's not a good word.
Releasing?
Releasing.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's much nicer.
Want to try that again?
No, I don't want to try that again.
No, absolutely.
I
want to
leave that exactly as it was. I will not. So that's going to be coming up in the next few weeks. Please stay tuned. These are interviews with, man, so many. Faith Aaron Hicks, Raina Telgemeier, Zach Giolongo. It just goes on and on and on. Carolyn Nowak.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We did it over the Kids Read Comics event that was in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It was a marathon day of interviews.
Yeah.
And those are going to be releasing very shortly.
Yeah, so block out some time. I mean, we got 6 or 8 or 12 hours of
They're
Stupid
short,
Skull Show.
They're short interviews, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
all right.
10, 15 minutes a piece,
okay,
so it won't be too bad.
Good.
Yeah, listen to smart people talk about comics. Not me. It's all when they talk about comics.
Yeah.
So thank you, as always, gentlemen.
It's been wonderful and civil.
It's a pleasure.
I've had to pee for like 20 minutes.
Thus ends another issue of Superb Skull, the Vault of Midnight podcast. You can hear us every Wednesday wherever podcasts are found. Our music was created by A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by P. Wong. That's Philip Wong. And our producer is the phenomenal Rachel Polk. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. @SuperSkullShow is our handle. And check out our website, www.superskullshow.com. You can send us a question that we will answer with gusto. Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. This is Nick Wybar for Marcus Schwimmer and Curtis Sullivan, wishing you good reading. Until next week.
God.
I just want to eat spaghetti and meatballs in the shower. That's my new thing that I want to do now. You know, just right in the water. It's like coming down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's watery. And
as you start, it's spaghetti. As you finish, it's more of a soup. It's more
God
of a,
damn
more
it.
Of a soup.
That makes me fucking ill.
I'm not going to tap
my
ever
favorite
again.
Thing to hear Curtis saying.
You're fine.
Ever is like a knight in shining armor. From a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to do it. I'm just saying. Like a knight in shining armor.
But you got
to
bring it down. From a long time ago. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Take me to your castle far away.